Hello and welcome to Illy's Coffee Talks. Season 3 is going to be about all my favorite topics, including slow living, inner work, entrepreneurship, creativity, spirituality, slow traveling, and health. I am Ophélie Cabanero, your host. Enjoy the episode. Hello, Nicole.
Hello.
Thank you for joining today. We just come out of the Looking Glass and I joined your lunch class. Mm-hmm. I wanted to do this podcast today because you see both worlds. You see the medical world and the energetic alternative world. Mm-hmm. But first of all, if you want to say something about what you do, you can do this now.
Okay. Yeah, thank you so much for your invitation. It's so funny because I always wanted to do a podcast and I never had the courage, and here I am. So thank you so much for that opportunity. Yes, I do. So my name is Nicole, and I work as a nurse. A yoga teacher, and I am an energy healer. The method I am using is called Theta Healing. It's, I think, not so known, but it's quite similar to Reiki. And I begin my working career as a nurse in psychiatry. I always worked in psychiatry. And then slowly shifted towards the more holistic view of a person, I guess, and then get really fascinated by yoga, just for me personally, and then took a yoga teacher training, but actually never really wanted to teach, and here I am teaching. So yeah,
thank you. Yeah, so you said you are a nurse in a psychiatric hospital. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So you see people who have what kind of disorders?
So it really depends, obviously, where I work. During my studies, I worked in like a part of the hospital which was closed, which means that like there was no open doors. It was like 10 years ago or something, right? So this is not officially existing anymore in Switzerland because psychiatry did change. Mm-hmm. But yeah, so this was like a closed unity, which means that there were like people which were a danger for themselves or a danger for society. And I put that in this
Klammern,
entre guillemets, whatever that means at the end, right? But doctors decided that they need medication. Mm-hmm. So yeah, so there was basically everything. There was like psychosis, there was intoxication of drugs, there was like maniac people, mm-hmm. Bipolar people, mm-hmm. which were in the maniac phase and which were really, really, really in a bad shape, mm-hmm. right? Who couldn't take care of themselves. Mm-hmm. Or people who wanted to kill themselves and maybe attempted to kill themselves. Mm-hmm. So that was during some of my studies, and then I worked in unities also where there were just depressive people with anxiety problems, and there was the focus was more on therapy, and therapy can be anything, right? In psychiatry in Switzerland, very often you work with different kind of therapies. Mm-hmm. Talk therapy, but you also work with like body therapies, sports stuff, yeah.
And like, you were saying you gave them yoga classes as well?
Yes, yeah. So now, since some years, I do work as a nurse on and off in different parts, in different hospitals. So I don't have like a fixed job. And I did work in a place where there were people who had addictions, but not towards substances, but like behavioral addictions. Mm-hmm. So sex addiction, mm-hmm. gaming addiction, mm-hmm. a gambling addiction, mm-hmm. or all of the three, or whatever. And these were mostly, it was very interesting because I never worked with people who had this kind of addiction.
Yeah.
I met patients who had that, but it's not that long that there is actually like an awareness around this kind of addiction, because there is loads of stigma around it. So addiction, just in general, it's a stigma. And then behavioral addiction, like for example sex addiction, there is like comes a second stigma on it. Mm-hmm. So it's very hard for these kind of people to find help, I guess.
So what is done then when they come to the hospital?
So this place, so it was a really small unity. I think there was only 9 or 10 people. It was mostly men, which is difficult as a young woman. Mm. Can be difficult to work there. So it like the environment is quite special, I guess. But it is, I found it very beautiful to work there actually, because they created kind of like a home feeling. So these kind of patients, as it's of very often they are in a good shape, let's say they don't want to kill themselves, or they are not like they don't have an acute danger to do something to somebody.
Mm-hmm.
So you can really work on them on a different level.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's, therapy can be everything. It can be cooking together. It mm-hmm. can be eating together at the table and like have a personal connection. Mm-hmm. For example, people who have online addiction, they are in their world. They don't speak with anyone. I remember that we had a patient, he didn't walk more than 50 steps a day, which is basically just go to the toilet and go back, right? So, and he didn't speak with anyone, like in real. And for him, therapy was really to move himself, to stand up in the morning, wake up, go to have breakfast and see a human and speak with this human. So this is part of therapy, actually. And also creating community. This is a big thing for all of the addictions, because addiction can take place, for me, only if there is no connection to your surrounding. And so what you actually do, and especially what you do as a nurse, is you create the connection. Your work is actually to connect with this person, and with this connection work with this person through some of the problems he has or she has.
And is it known that, or do they talk about trauma for addictions?
It depends where. Obviously, very often there is any kind of trauma or different traumas. In this specific unity, there were lots of young men, and there was a lot of shame around trauma, which is weird. I guess for women it's the same, but somehow, at least in my experience, somehow women speak more freely, which is good, which is very good, but speak more freely about trauma. And trauma, I don't only talk about like abuse or something, can be anything, can be that your parents get separated when you were really young, or that you moved away when you were in a really young age and you lost all of your friends, or that you, very often there was kind of mobbing in school. So again, a very disconnection from community, having no community, no friends, nothing.
Or the feeling of not having one.
Yes, or just not feeling connected or not being able. So autism is a huge subject, another huge subject, which might be never diagnosed, but when you see them each day during several hours, you see some behavioral, let's say, special behavior in communication or how they behave in a group, and you can guess that maybe there is something around that as well. Or it can just be that they are not used to engage with people.
And so you see, is it interesting for you to see then both worlds, to see what is being done in this hospital or in these hospitals? And then you, before we started, you were saying, because we were at the yoga studio and you're hosting a Theta healing evening on Sunday, and someone asked you what do you do, and you said you work with energies and
yeah,
and it's quite hard to explain.
Yeah.
And you said then later, yeah, even, you know, when I speak like that in some...
I sound like a patient.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So it's so funny.
It could.
Some kind of patients. Yeah. It's so funny because, like, for me, when I especially when I worked during my studies in these very closed unities where there were really sick people, I mean, I have a lot of weird stories about schizophrenic.
Sure.
Yeah, obviously. But, like, about schizophrenic, I will never forget a schizophrenic patient who talked to another nurse just next to me and told her, like, you have a light in your belly. And actually, she was pregnant.
Mm-hmm.
And nobody knew. Mm-hmm. It was just, like, 3 months or something, and she didn't talk about it, obviously for work because of whatever reason, right? But
mm-hmm.
she didn't tell anyone, and nobody
mm-hmm.
noticed, and nobody knew, and you
mm-hmm.
couldn't see it.
Mm-hmm.
So he actually felt it, he saw it, right?
Mm-hmm.
And I was always interested in where is this line between sickness
mm-hmm.
and maybe having abilities somebody else doesn't have. And this structure about what is normal, what is not normal, and it's a lot about cultural stuff and a lot about the medical diagnosis,
limitations,
yes, and limitations, which obviously in history helped a lot
mm-hmm.
of people.
Mm-hmm.
But I think it's so hard to draw that line.
Mm-hmm.
And so I worked as a nurse, and I was so when I was younger, I was so sure about, oh, that is sick and that is not
mm-hmm.
sick. And I didn't work with energies or anything like
yeah.
that. I didn't assume any of these things. For me, it was really black
yeah.
and white,
yeah.
right? And then, well, life is funny, right? It leads you towards this stuff you don't want to see. Or there was always a part in my heart which was like, oh, but maybe they don't talk crap. Maybe they actually
mm-hmm.
really see something. And still, you can be in psychiatry and you want to get treatment because it can be scary.
Yeah,
maybe
yeah,
if you
yeah.
cannot channel it
yeah.
or whatever, right?
Mm-hmm.
So, but yeah, but it was always like, oh, they just see things which are not existing. But then how actually can you be sure, right?
Mm-hmm.
Who is actually
mm-hmm.
really
mm-hmm.
telling
mm-hmm.
that you can be sure? And for me, it's really still, because I still work in psychiatry and I still would give sometimes medications to people, and I don't believe that I don't see it. I would give medication because I want to release suffering. Like,
yeah.
if you suffer, if you're scared, if you suffer, then you need to release that suffering.
Mm-hmm.
And it's before, for me, it was more about, you are wrong, you talk crap, this is not existing.
Yeah.
And now it's more, I want to help from another point of view.
Yeah.
But then, yeah, so I shifted over that line, actually, and working now as an energy healer, where sometimes I cannot really explain what is happening. I cannot really explain what I do. And then again,
mm-hmm.
I don't do anything, right,
mm-hmm.
as a person. But, and still there is stuff coming out of my mouth, which I cannot really explain. And then I think, well, if some of the people I work with could hear me, maybe they would give me medication, right?
Yes.
So it's a weird thing.
So can you have examples of things you hear at your work and you think, oh yeah, that could be totally possible?
Well, I didn't work so much with psychotic people or schizophrenic people who are like, for me now it's like this, that they have a very open vision and a very open, let's say, mind, and that they cannot really channel the information
mm-hmm.
they get,
mm-hmm.
so it's a big chaos,
mm-hmm.
and they get from every level of energy, they get some stuff in and they cannot really channel it. So, but just like, can be anything, like this, I see that there is, when patients were telling me, there is like people in this room and they're haunting me. And
mm-hmm.
I mean, again, this is the sufferance, right? they think they are haunting them, but maybe they just see it and it's actually there, but it's not. Maybe it scares you, but they don't want really something bad. Because in my energy healing stuff, there is some ancestors or whatever of my clients who show up, and then they're actually there. So it can be anything. We in hospital, you would say it's a hallucination, and in energy healing, we would say, "Oh, I'm channeling," right? Yeah.
So cool.
Yeah.
So fascinating that this time we are in right now that it gets easier to talk about it.
Yeah. But again, I mean, I do tell in psychiatry that I'm an energy healer, but I think if I would tell it in details what I do, I still feel fear of judgment and shame around that, just in that specific context, right?
And do you feel shame around that in other contexts?
Less, much less. I mean, I used to not assume at all what I'm doing, and when I began these courses with Theta Healing, I was surprised that, like, I had to do nothing. And again, I do some this sounds like EMA, and that I just feel things and see things I could not possibly know. I don't know this person, these people. I don't know anything about them. And I see and feel stuff, they resonate, and they say, yes, it's true. And so I could not explain with my mind. So there must have been another explanation. And it was just no effort. Really, just no effort. I just had to connect to that energy, and then everything
surrender.
Yes.
Which is hard to do.
Yes. But this is the thing we talked about in when as a yoga teacher. it's another story, right? For me. And I think that lots of people can resonate. Maybe I shouldn't say it, but I die each time I do or I lead a yoga course.
Yeah, your ego.
Yes, my and I just thought about that today, that my ego really, a part of my ego dies. And I don't think that ego is something bad. Sometimes in our world, in our bubble, we say, oh, ego is so bad. No, ego is really important, because then I believe we know what we are, and we know who is somebody else, and where the border between that is, right? The difference also, because when I'm with my ego, then I know who I am, right? But then our society and everything, like, tells us, oh, actually, you are your ego. And then you identify yourself. So this is, like, for me, the problem. Yeah, so my ego tells me horrible stuff each time before I'm leading a course. And each time I'm going there anyway, and I'm doing it anyway. Yeah. It dies, because at the end everybody is happy, and my ego is like, okay, well, I try next week again, right, to tell her bullshit. But yeah,
that's because it's trying to protect you.
Sure. And I mean, part of me knows that, and part of me is like, oh, what do you want to tell me? And I acknowledge your need, and I know that you served me at one point, right? I mean, I tell that in an ironic way, because this is, like, what you hear. You need to work with your shadows, and it's all true, but
still, we all do it.
We all do it.
It's still funny.
Yeah, and but still, when I'm there walking on my mat and leading a course, it's like, well, I don't care, just shut up, right?
Yes.
So,
of course, you don't have time all the time to...
Yeah.
Take this time to communicate with your
like, oh, what do you want to tell me?
Because first of all, you have to realize, ah, that's a shadow. Ah, that's not me. Okay. Okay.
Yeah, and it's old stuff. And I know. But then, and energy healing is completely different, because ego has no place, because sometimes I cannot explain it from the beginning, so the ego cannot work against it, actually. It has no place for me there.
And you also said you, and I can relate, you don't prepare. You cannot prepare, because you never know what's going to happen.
No. The only thing is that I'm just connecting myself with the Theta Healing Method. Mm-hmm. And that's basically it. Mm-hmm. And then I just ask that I'm the best possible guide. Mm-hmm. And that's basically it, right?
I also do that, like ask for guidance and that I'm a greater support to this person.
Yeah.
But does it happen to you that you are sick after the session sometimes, or you feel tired?
Yeah, tired, yes. Yeah. So what I realized, what I do all the time is I shower. Mm. Which is weird because sometimes at midnight I shower and at 2 o'clock in the afternoon I shower and whatever. And even if what I... Just after, yes, I had to shower. I have to shower.
After a session
yes.
with someone.
Yeah, okay. And even if in the, I do a session in the morning, I shower. I need a session, I shower again. Mm. And it's, I think it's really something, and I always had that water is cleaning.
Yeah.
And there is like a method that you clean yourself and that you deconnect yourself.
Energetically.
Yes, yeah. But
it's not enough.
No, it's not enough. It's not enough.
Yeah, that's what I feel too.
Yeah, and I do feel tired sometimes, but not that much because I think it's not what very often when I do energy healing, it's I'm not really in my body. I don't know where exactly I am, but it's not so much channeling with my body. It's not that somebody. An entity or whatever is taking over my body.
Yeah, and
nothing
weird. And
yes,
some
nothing
yeah.
like this.
Yeah.
So it's really just energetical.
Yeah, mm-hmm. You just open something and you are more present and have more intuition, maybe.
Yeah, and very concentrated and very focused. It feels like it's funny because meditation is a very hard practice for me, a very hard practice. And somehow during energy healing session, it does feel like I am meditating because I am really focused and very concentrated on what I see, what I feel, what I hear. And I'm just transporting it, in fact. Mm-hmm. And I don't have time also to think about it. In a yoga class, when I'm leading it, I'm going in all directions. I'm thinking about whatever happens. I'm thinking.
Yeah.
And energy healing, I don't have time to think.
Yeah, it's... Because yoga, you need to show something with the body.
Yeah, it's another level.
Yeah.
I mean, with yoga, you can access energetical levels as well, obviously, with breathing practices and whatever, different koshas, right? But very often what you see and what you actually do is the very gross level with your body. You use your breath and you move your body.
Yeah.
And people who maybe are not often in a yoga class or whatever, they need to see what you do actually with your body to copy, right? So, and then there is a lot of thinking because you are in your body and you are with your breath and you are showing and you want that everybody is safe. And
it's actually very hard to, if I may say, when I used to teach, I got injured more than once, I think, by showing, you know?
Yeah.
Even though you practiced before, supposedly, you're not
ready yet. We all do it during hours and hours and hours, right? And we meditate.
Of course, just before class.
All the time.
Mm-hmm. And then you need to show, and then often if you show just one side, super bad for you, bend forward.
I can totally
look at the same time at others. Yeah. So it's you're not really, you cannot be, or I cannot, I couldn't do it. I could not be in my body. And sometimes I'm not even in my body completely when I'm practicing, you know? So I think it's very tricky to teach.
Yeah. Yeah, and to show things. And also I realized but maybe it's because I'm nervous, but there's a lot of tension.
Mm.
So when I show the poses, I am so tense.
And you're like, fuck, I'm not flexible.
Yeah, it's like, shit, I cannot do this stuff. I cannot show it, right? What am I, like a teacher, right?
More stress.
Yes, and then there's like the ego again. What? You cannot do the bind. What is happening? Right? It's horrible.
And that's what we were talking about before, this humor thing in yoga sometimes it's too serious. And you were giving me this amazing example of Bikram yoga Please talk about it again.
It's fun. Yeah, my first ever class was a Bikram class many years ago. And I like heat, and I thought I'm not flexible. So I thought, heat will help me to do some things I cannot do normally. So I'm going to go there in this 40 degree room with like nothing on my body.
Yeah.
And just
it looks
whatever. And I remember there were loads of like, let's say 50 plus men. Which is funny, actually. I remember that. And there was
in
a teacher.
In a bathing suit?
Yeah, so, yeah, it was great. And so the teacher, I think I told the teacher that it's my first class and whatever, and then we did it. And then after the class, he came to me and was like, so how did you like it? And I remember, and I was not in the yoga world, I had no idea about nothing, right?
Yeah.
So really beginner's mind. And I was like, yeah, it was good, but it's so serious. Why don't you laugh? And he looked at me like, like, honestly, sometimes you look at a patient in psychiatry, right? And you're like, big eyes. I'm like, what is she talking about? And obviously he didn't laugh. He didn't say anything. He didn't, was like, well, I'm not sure if he told something it's not supposed to be funny or something. But I thought like, hey, it's something I do in my free time.
Yeah.
It's something that should be good for me. And like, I want to find joy. And like, because my work is not really joyful sometimes. Mm. So I want to do something good and I want to be happy.
Mm.
Obviously after I realized that You can look serious at the outside and be very joyful at the inside, but sometimes it is very serious.
Totally.
Yoga. Oh. Very serious and very like, almost like with his finger, you know, you should do this, you should do that, you should be vegan, you should be should.
Yeah.
And then you go in another prison, because actually you do yoga to liberate yourself. Well, for me, to liberate yourself, to find yourself, to be free of this suffering and free of this I should, and then suddenly you need Lululemon leggings and you need this and you need, sorry Lululemon, you need to be in a certain way, you need to eat in a certain way, you shouldn't drink coffee and you shouldn't blah blah.
Yeah.
It never ends, right?
Yeah, and then you go into health coaching and it's exactly the same thing. That's what I said.
Yeah, so
green juice.
Yeah, celery juice.
Yes.
Morning meditation with Palo Santo, and then important, you need to show it. You need to show it, right? Somewhere on social media.
Oh yeah, of course.
Yes, it's very important that you show it.
I love how you transition so beautifully.
You
into
see.
The next topic. you're a profi already, huh?
Yeah, sure.
So social media, then that's our. You said something in German before. You said mehr Schein als Sein,
And I wouldn't know really how to translate. It's a saying that, like you seem to be more, or you show off to be more than you actually are. Which doesn't mean that when you have nice pictures or whatever, or you show off, that you are less, right? But marketing,
because I'm trying to have nice pictures.
Yeah, and like your worth stays the same, right? But social media is, yeah, I think I as I told you before, and I'm in this trap very often still, I think the generations before us, like maybe our parents or even before, like what was in TV was the truth.
Mm-hmm.
They believed it,
mm-hmm.
right? And it was just like, oh, the media told it.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Must be true. Mm-hmm. And now I think our generation and the generation after us, we realize that TV might not be true all the time, or that it just might be a certain part of the truth. But then social media, we suddenly believe that, oh, if somebody is telling, oh, I sell, there's just one place left for my webinar. Just one place, right? Then we believe it. And it's not true, right?
What do you mean it's... Do you mean they are not sold out?
Well, yeah, exactly. So this is this FOMO. This FOMO stuff. Oh, there's only one place. I mean, in a webinar, I don't know. I think it's even unlimited place. It doesn't make sense, right? Oh, there's only three places left. Oh, there's only two places left. Yeah. And they count down the stuff for this fear of missing out of people. And then people buy from a place of... I'm missing out. This is not a good energy.
Yeah, it's true. It's very much like that. They send you 10,000 emails until you buy it.
Yeah. This also is a... Yeah, so...
So we said it's not the truth, and...
Very often. I mean, it can be the truth, or like TV, it can be just a part of the truth. Mm-hmm. But then, very often, it's not the truth. Yeah. Right.
Because I was telling you yesterday... There are some teachers, like, you see them shine online, and then you take their class and they're like, what?
Yeah.
And they seem so successful, and they maybe are, but then the quality is not necessarily, I mean, we are all different and we all have different perspectives, and it's fine, but I think what I always found tricky, and I still... No, now it's getting better, but with coaching, because it's, I don't know if it's because it's one-on-one or I don't know the reason, but with yoga I found it really tricky to practice, or to, well, practice, we should do that too, yeah, but teach well, and then market yourself, and organize so many things. But I think that's, it came from, exactly, I think it, oh my god, I just realized something. That's why I love to do this podcast. just for me.
Just for you.
That yoga was probably from a place of, it has to come from me, and I didn't know all these, what you know from Theta Healing, all these, you can ask for guidance, you can ask for help, you can also do a lot of inner child work and release all your blockages, work on limiting belief and all that. I knew a little bit about that, but now it feels much easier because I did the inner work. That's probably why it changed. And that's why I recommend to everyone to do the inner work, because life feels so much easier.
Yeah.
But so back in the days, it felt really hard to be able to do both as an entrepreneur, right? Yeah. You have to do it all.
Yeah, and I think now as you talk, I think it's so hard because part of your work on the mat, when you teach or anything, you tell yourself, well, actually, it's not about my ego, it's not about me, it's not about whatever, I'm just transmitting the lineages and the teachings, right? Mm-hmm. Okay, like, in the best case. If
on
you
paper,
can do that,
yeah.
On paper. And then in marketing, suddenly it's all about you. Mm-hmm. And suddenly it's all about this ego, and suddenly it's all about that you need to do fancy poses. Yeah. And I mean, we all know, we are like conditioned. When we scroll through social media, we see all this, whatever. Now it begins to see different body types, to see different yoga therapy practices. We begin to see it, but like, it doesn't help just, oh, more reality of Instagram, when once your hair is not perfectly done and you seem to have no makeup on. This is not more reality, right?
Yeah.
So it's all about this ego and all about what our eyes likes to see, and our eyes are like learned to find beautiful.
Yeah.
And then we want to, and for me it was always, first of all, I don't think I fit in that and I don't want to fit in it. But then I need to frame myself differently, and then I wouldn't know how actually to frame myself. Mm. So I wanted to be something else and different, but then how and what?
Yeah.
And so this is like this struggle, right?
Yeah.
To be truthful, to work on yourself, to really be truthful, and then to show that. And then at the end, if you do marketing, I mean, you want to sell something.
Yeah.
You want to...
It's, we live in this world.
Yes.
So,
so you need to do it, but how can you stay truthful
without
falling in that trap?
Yeah. And you said before that... we think that it's only worth something when it's beautiful.
Yeah, so stupid.
It's so stupid, but I agree, and that's why I also constantly work on my social media, because when I go see someone else's, I first scroll through and like, oh yeah, that's pretty okay, I'll follow, you know?
Yeah, exactly.
It is important. If you're a visual person and you like nice things, it's important, but you also said that you went to a social media course that was so well designed and so pretty, and in the end it sucked.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, I'm sure that happened to some of us, maybe lots of us, that there is somebody on social media telling, hey, I'm a freelancer, you see, I'm on the beach in Bali all the time, right? And I can work from everywhere, and if you want that too, you just take my course, which costs, I don't know how many thousand Swiss francs or whatever, and then you can be the same.
That those ads are on YouTube, I get them all the time.
Yes, all the time, right? And it looked good, and she was nice, and she was... Actually, it's selling a dream.
Yeah.
It's like selling...
It's something. Like
a vision.
Apple does that really well with selling emotions.
Yes, exactly. That you resonate with something and you think that the only thing between your vision, what you want... and where you are now is one course or one investment or one thing.
Yes, exactly.
Right?
And I'm like,
what? I am like this. I thought, oh, okay, I'll take this course. I will be a social media manager and then I will be fine. No, it was not like that, right? And so I paid a lot of money for at the end. I mean, I do know some things now about social media.
Yeah.
This is why I know that when there's only one place left, there's never only one place left. I mean, I don't want to tell that people are lying. Maybe sometimes there is only one place left. But I know that there's all a strategy behind, and which is fine. I mean, it's fine, but why not tell it? You know, why not be honest about
it? Yeah. And what do you think about... and maybe you have that on your Insta, I didn't check, but I talked about this with another friend. This sentence, you know, like, I'm helping, with whatever. You know the sentence you need to have?
I didn't know that. Do you need to have
it?
I don't have it. I think that's very old. You know, social media changes all the time. I have no idea, no.
It's a marketing thing, they also, like, you need to write that.
Yeah, your niche. Let's see.
Your niche, and you really, and that I could never really do it, because I can help people do many different things, not just this one thing.
Yeah.
So, I really had troubles with that, and in the end, I never wrote it, but...
Yeah, that's okay.
It's all these things you have to do that are trendy.
Yeah. You need to find your niche and your perfect client and sales funnel and the whole stuff, right?
Yeah. Which takes so much time. And then in that time, maybe you're not working on improving your skills.
Yeah.
And I say that, and I mean, I really love to take pictures and work on Canva, whatever, you know. I really love this digital world. I think I find it really satisfying to work here in the office and just do my little things and my big things.
Yeah.
See how I correct myself? And so I really love it. And we're going on holiday in a few weeks, and I was checking all the blogs, you know, to see... what other people have done, and I think it's great, but in the meantime, like, my partner was asking, oh, do you think they're really hiking? And I'm like, you know how heavy drones and cameras and all this, and look at that fancy backpack. If you're sweating like crazy, you don't want a fancy backpack like that, do you?
Yeah, exactly. I can totally relate. Marketing is marketing, so it's always showing something off, and sometimes it's true and sometimes not. It's just that in our bubble of energetical healing, yoga, we want to be truthful. We want to, you know, live something positive, mm-hmm. And then the world kind of forces you. And I still believe that there is other ways. It's mm-hmm. just I didn't find it for now.
Yeah. There is word of mouth, but it takes longer.
It takes longer. And when you are not always at the same place, like me, I'm traveling a lot. It's very hard. To know people which could be interested, right?
Yeah.
But then at the other hand, and this sounds very cliche, but I do believe also that the right people find you at the right time, and that maybe in my beginning when I did all this Instagram stuff and I tried to fit in and nobody came, it's because it wasn't really truthful to me, I guess, and also because maybe I was not ready. And maybe it was good that there was nobody yet.
Yes.
And that the people which are reaching out, that they, that I am ready for them.
Yeah.
I'm talking now more about yoga, not so much about energy healing, because again, energy healing, I cannot do anything. And which is funny as well, because for energy healing, it seems to be a lot easier to get people.
Really?
Than for yoga, yeah. But also because of yoga, you know, I'm not flexible, I didn't do it for a long time, like they need to do something.
Yeah.
And energy healing is more of this, oh, somebody will fix me.
Yes, that's why I'm coming.
everybody. But this is how I advertise it, right? Like you don't need to do anything.
Yeah.
So I enforce that we, and it's true that they don't need to do anything.
But in Theta healing one-on-one, they don't need to do anything?
Well, they just need to be... They need to breathe.
But you don't ask them questions?
Yeah. But they shouldn't answer from, a headspace, but more... So what you actually need to do is to connect to your heart space and to feel the feelings. And that is work, right? It's not
that easy. Is work, and that not everybody can do it.
Yes, exactly. Yeah. And I did have some clients who came to me with something... with a specific question, and then we worked around it, and whatever was being shown, I was like, oh no, I don't have that. No, with my father was everything okay.
Mm-hmm.
You see? Right?
So no, I don't believe you.
I don't know why you see. No, doesn't talk to me. No. Mm-mm. Well, okay. So then...
There is nothing you
there
can
is,
do.
No, there is, nothing. Like, no, I want to work on that. Well, yeah, but... It's all interconnected, right? So we need to, and then sometimes, it doesn't work, and then...
So what was, you don't have to go into detail, but for example, because I think it's an interesting topic, because often for coaching, for example, we always say, therapy, you focus on the past, and coaching, you focus on the future. But, I also disagree, because if you want to go forward in your life, sometimes you need to have a look at the past and do some work there.
Yeah.
And so was it something she wanted to create in the future or relationships?
Yeah, I think it was relationship, which was for the future. And then obviously...
Yeah,
it was being shown to me that there was stuff in relationships before,
parents.
Yeah. And I think also it's a weird thing that we want to separate for me past with present and future, because it's like a continuum, right? Like you are in the present where you are because the past learned you something, or you react to things in your present. Mm-hmm. Because you have a history. It's not like you just dropped out of your mother's belly and you are here 30 years after, right? Like, we lived and there is experiences.
Yeah.
And they sometimes help and sometimes they don't help that much. But it's important to know what helps and what doesn't help. And then you can navigate. And then the present doesn't always show in which direction your future will be, because there is millions of ways you can walk in another direction.
Yeah,
it's not linear.
Free
will.
And you also talked about ancestors. So
Yeah, ancestral work in energy, in this energy healing,
yeah.
Very often it comes up,
yeah.
Which is obviously your past, and very often it's from generations you never knew, actually.
Yeah.
Very often, also what comes up is that, and I work very often with women, some men as well, but for a moment it was loads of women, that it was a lot about that they were women before also in other lives, and that were like it was a lot of trauma around that.
So a past life.
Yeah, past life now. Also, but also ancestors that different generations of women already had that kind of stuff, because how the world worked on that time.
And what came out mostly? Did you see a pattern?
Very often, well. It's very general,
yeah.
But very often is I need to fit in,
yeah.
And if not, I am dying.
Like the wish.
So very existential, and I think for women for a long, long time it was like that. Like they had to fit in, they had to fulfill their role, whatever, as a mother or whatever.
Yeah.
And if not, I think it was dangerous in society and in community.
The roles were very limited.
Yes. Yeah, and I have to fit in, and I cannot take a lot of space, and very existential. It's very often very existential, and very often, obviously, it was about life or death, right?
And that's why, because I worked on that kind of stuff as well for myself, and that could be a reason why we. Of course, we can do everything we want these days, but still it's hard sometimes to put ourselves out there and go for it. And it might be because of that, men have been doing that for much longer.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and then when I worked with men, and it's kind of maybe classic, I don't know, it's more about fighting. It's very about this warrior attitude. It's either you or me.
Right.
Like I'm stronger or you are stronger, but both of us, we like collaboration is not existing. Like when you go back, and if there was collaboration, it was always what we do in energy healing, theta healing, also a lot. It's like cutting cords between promises which have been made. Or like collaboration was always about, well, I give you that and you give me that, right?
Mm-hmm.
And there were loads of mixed ups, energetical mixed ups, and that is more men. With the men I work, that comes up more often.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
I heard that once wherever I remember, and I told my husband, let's never tell each other that we will love one another forever, because otherwise our souls in the next life will try to find each other, and it's not necessarily good or...
Yeah. Very interesting. What did he say? I'm wondering.
When he's into this...
Oh, right. Because my partner would like that. What the heck?
He was like, okay. Makes sense.
Yeah. Okay. Well, sounds good. I want to be free.
It's I'm very lucky.
Yeah. Oh, cool.
Yeah. So, is there anything else you would like to add?
I think I talked.
Talk about. You did.
I'm sorry.
It was great. It was great.
Find me on Instagram, right? Where I show nice pictures of myself, and there is always only one place left.
Yes, perfect.
Right?
Perfect. Thank you, Nicole.
Thank you.
I will put all the links. Or what is it? Soul and Sparkle?
Soul and Sparkle, yes.
Yeah. Thank you for joining.
Thank you.
And thank you all for listening.
Mm-hmm.